Well, good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus. We're happy to be able to be here and so thankful that for all the blessings that we enjoy. This morning, it was kind of ironic the way the Lord led leading up to this point. When we had our first, this message comes out of our first lesson in the book that the men are studying, actually, when we talked quite a bit about Abraham's servant, and we talked about being a servant, and basically the way up is down, and that's the way of the Christian life. We in humility, we serve Him and we serve others, and it's just the way it is. And I'm not advocating that we lay down and become a carpet for everybody to walk on. That's not what I'm advocating at all. But as we serve Jesus, we serve others as well. But anyways, after we had that first lesson on the way home, I told my wife, I said, that would be an interesting character study. And about 5 days later, I got a text from the man here. From Dana, he said, would you fill in on this Sunday? And so those things fell kind of right in line, and I felt that the Lord would have us to do that. So this is going to be somewhat of a character study out of Genesis chapter 4 of Abraham's servant who was called upon to go and fetch a wife for Isaac. That was the job at hand that he had here. Out of Genesis chapter 24. And we're just going to go down through this chapter and drawing out different things that stood out to me. This account is more about Abraham's servant than actually about Abraham. Again, I say the way up is down. The servant would say, no. He said, this is not about me. This is about my master Abraham. That would be the servant's response. And this whole chapter, how many verses do we have here? 67 verses. And not once is the servant given a name. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. But Abraham here is, if I've done my math and my research correctly, Abraham here is an old man, approximately, from what I could find, 140 years old. His wife has died. Sarah is gone. And Isaac, Isaac is approximately 40 years old. At that time, a normal age for a man to get a wife was 30 years old. So Isaac is past, shall we say, past his prime. He's older than what normally a man would take a wife at that time. And so Abraham was a little concerned. Abraham was promised descendants. We know all about that. And so now Abraham has Isaac. But Abraham has no grandchildren. Isaac has not gotten a wife up to this point. This servant, I want to go back to chapter 15 and just draw something here. Chapter 15 and verse 2. We'll read verse 1 as well. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And I did some research as much as I could, and everything that I could find, almost all of the commentaries would give this servant that is not named, would give him the name of Eliezer. And so I may use that interchangeably during the message this morning, maybe naming him and maybe not naming him. History says that if a man died without any sons, the oldest servant would inherit what he had. So this Eliezer was actually due to inherit the riches of Abraham. And history also has it that Eliezer had a daughter. So if he could have gotten his daughter to marry Isaac, he would again stand to inherit quite a bit of possessions. Also note that Eliezer says that he ruled over all that Abraham had. Abraham had a lot. So he was in charge of the other servants, all his livestock and the care of those livestock. Maybe even took care of his accounting, his money, his checkbook, we would say. Possibly even over the training of Isaac. Think about that a little bit. Maybe Eliezer had in charge of bringing up Isaac, of his teaching and so on. So we see that materially, the servant had a lot to lose by being obedient to Abraham's request to go get him a wife. What was his response? Do you think the servant resented that fact? Not once do we have a hint of that. Throughout this passage, everything was about his servant, his master Abraham. Many times it has reference to that. Let's begin to read now here in Genesis chapter 24. And Abram was old and was stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So he was a very wealthy man. He had now his long-awaited promised son, but again, he had no grandchildren. And Abram said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. This is something that was done during that time. This was a way of, in our court system today, we place the place the hand on the Bible and promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. During that time, they placed their hand under the thigh. Now, that sounds a little strange to us, but that's the way it was during that time. That was a way of making a promise sure. That was a very solemn way to do that. And even though this servant was a faithful servant, Abraham wanted to make extra sure that he would carry out his request. So Abraham calls in this trusted servant and ask him to go get a wife for Isaac. Verse 3, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. So even though Eliezer is a trusted servant, this request is so serious that Abraham makes him promise to do as he is instructed. He says here, thou shalt not take a daughter of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. And verse 4, it says, but thou shalt go. So he had a shalt not and he had a shalt. This you do not do, but this is what I want you to do. He wanted clear instructions. The servant wanted to be very clear. He says, in essence, in verse 5, he says, the servant said unto him, peradventure, we would say, perchance, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land or come back with me. Must I needs bring my son again into the land from whence thou camest? If the woman won't come, am I going to take Isaac over that direction to get a wife? And the servant wanted to be clear. He, in essence, says, well, what if? What if? He wanted clear instructions from his master. And so he tried to cover the questions that might arise. He wanted to be very clear. Even though he was given this, this freedom to go and choose a wife for Isaac, he wanted to be very clear. I had to think here, this is just my little mind rambling a little bit. But do you think at any time that Eliezer thought this Isaac and boys are going to be boys, do you think he thought, that little rascal, he caused me a lot of problems when he was growing up. I'll fix him. I'll get him a wife that'll take care of him. I don't know. Probably not. I mean, considering everything that we have here and his devotion to his master Abraham, probably not. But in real life, sometimes that's what takes place. When they get a chance now to get back, they'll do that. But that does not take place. Abraham gives him those very clear instructions, verses 6-9. And Abraham said unto him, "Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again." In other words, he said, if the girl that you choose refuses to come, then I'll release you of this oath, but do not take my son over there. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear unto him concerning this matter. God has given us as well many clear instructions through His Word, through His Spirit, through our spiritual leaders, our godly parents. Are we willing to, in essence, put our hand under God's thigh and promise to do all that He asks of us to do? Would you be willing to do that? "Yes, God. Whatever you ask, I will do." That's all that He wants. He just wants a willing heart. So now we come to this journey in verses 10 and 11. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. So now, just in the short few verses here, we have where he took his journey, but the journey was not so short. Again, I tried to do a little research. If I'm correct, if I've done my geography correctly, this journey was approximately 3,000 miles. Does anyone disagree with me? I'm not exactly sure on that. But it was a long distance. He had 10 camels. A camel can travel approximately 50 miles per day. And a camel can drink approximately 50 gallons of water a day. And there were other servants that went along as well. We'll get to that later in verse 32. And I don't know. Again, I tried to imagine how this actually was in real life. 10 camels. And very possibly there was 5 or 6 guys. Maybe they led the other camels to bring the woman back with her possessions. That's just my imagination. It does not tell us why they took 10 camels. Nowhere do we find that. But this was no small undertaking that they set out to do. So if a camel can travel approximately 50 miles a day, 3,000, it may have taken them a month to make this journey back to Abraham's homeland. But that was his instructions. That's what Abraham wanted him to do. Verses 12 through 14, we have the servant Eliezer's request to God. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me Godspeed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Nowhere is he asking for anything for himself. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So this was somewhat of a fleece that he laid. He said, to one, if I ask water from a young lady, and she gives me water and says, I'll also give water to your camels, that shall be the one. That was the fleece that he had laid. But he mentions my master Abraham, and he mentions also thy servant Isaac. It's not about Eliezer. It's about his master. And then his prayer is answered. Verse 15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Micah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. So we see here that Isaac and Rebekah were cousins. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Again, this was no undertaking. Here, if you haven't got the title is in the bulletin, but for the younger children, here's where I got my title from, servant to servant. Eliezer meets Rebekah here, who also has a servant's heart. If each camel drank 50 gallons of water, how much water did she draw? Again, this, I tried to put this in real life. That'd be 500 gallons of water. I don't know. If somebody else pitched in to help, I just don't know. That would be a lot of water to draw for one single young lady. But that's what she did. And so we just, I guess, kind of have to fill in the blanks. But this is what Eliezer prayed for. And this was the answer. It says, even before he was done speaking, Rebekah came out. Of course, he didn't know who it was at this time. God is not slack in giving us answers when we are able to put ourselves out of the picture and give him all the glory and praise. Very likely, how shall I say this? We too often are not able to do that, or we don't do that. We do not put ourselves out of the picture like Eliezer did. And God cannot work if we are in the way. We need to put ourselves out of the way, step aside, ask God. Yes, I'm not saying that God's going to answer all of our prayers if we are able to do that. But we need to get out of the way and let God answer according to his will. She goes above and beyond what would have been normal for a young maid to do for a bunch of, I put strange men, but that doesn't sound quite right. But a bunch of men that she did not know. This just was not customary in those times. For men and women to interact in this way. Notice now in verse 21, and this was interesting to me. In my researching, I used I had a couple of different commentaries, and I used Google, and I found something, and I don't even know the man's name, but I found a sermon, or not, I don't know if it was a sermon. It was a Jewish rabbi sitting behind a desk speaking. I don't know, it may have been in a classroom setting, I'm not sure. He could read Greek and Hebrew better than I can read English. He was an educated man, to say the very least. He was talking about this account that we're talking about today. He had 10 books open in front of him, and he'd choose books, trying to make points from here and there. And it was very interesting to listen to him. And I had to leave. I did not listen to the whole message, but this is a thought that he brought out. In verse 21, now notice it says, "And the man." So now we go from previous to this, in referring to Abraham's servant, is always mentioned the servant. And now it says, "And the man." And you will also find this in verse 26, verse 29, and 30 and 32. That now he's referenced to the man instead of the servant. And this Jewish rabbi brought this thought out, and I thought it was a good thought. He says that now, being this has come to pass, and we had in a previous verse here, we had reference, I think Abraham asked for an angel to go with him. So now things have come to pass as he prayed. So this man, this Jewish rabbi, says, so now the servant Eliezer and the angel have now become in agreement. And so now the servant is elevated to a man instead of just a servant. And I thought that was a very good point to bring out, that as we become one with God and allow him to work in our lives, God can use us in different ways. He may elevate us, so to speak. He may not. But he may bless others through us. And so I thought that was just a very interesting note. I couldn't find anything in any of the commentaries that would support that or made any reference to why he is now called a man instead of a servant. But I thought it was very interesting to note. Verse 21 through 26. And it came to pass, and the man, wondering at her, at Rebekah, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He was now wondering, is this the one? Is this now the one that I'm to take back? And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. I don't know, I tried to follow this through. I think maybe they would have been first and a half cousins, if I'm correct, in what we would call that. She said, moreover, unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Very interesting here. The servant contemplates, or he thinks about this in verse 21. And then in verse 26, we have that he worships. And I don't know what that looks like to you, but I think there are times, there should be times in our lives when we wonder, God, is this something that you're telling me? God, are you putting your hand into my activities here and wanting me to do something or say something? And the fact that he worships, even in amongst the camels and the water and all of that, he worships. As servants of our Lord, we need to spend time in quiet meditation and worship, definitely. Even when we are about our daily duties and activities, don't forget your mission. Eliezer was standing at the city well with a beautiful young girl, but he did not forget his master and his mission. Never once did his goal leave him. He knew why he was here. He was not here on a picnic. He was not here to enjoy whatever this far country had to offer. He had a mission in mind, and that was the only thing that he had on his mind. Now notice, let's read a little bit more here now in verse 27. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." He was, it says here, in the way. We would say, on the way. So as he was going, as he was being obedient, the Lord was working on the other side, bringing all of this together. As he was on the way, as a servant of the Lord God, we need to be on the way. True, he had a few questions at the beginning, but when those questions were answered and instructions were given, he went. He was on the way. The Lord works through busy people. We've often heard that before. And so we need to be about. We need to be busy and doing things, not asking a lot of questions. God is able to direct people who are on the way, busy people. The servant had one what if at the very beginning, but after that was answered, he was on his way. Too often we waste precious time by asking, well, what if this? What if that? Lord, what if they laugh at me? What if they won't speak to me again? We have a lot of what ifs. Let's be on the way, and God will give direction as we go. We also note this in Rebekah in verse 28. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. She was a busy lady as well. She drew water for all these camels, and then she ran to the house, however far that might have been. Also, just a side note here, Rebekah's father had passed away at this time. Nowhere does it reference her father at all. It mentions her mother and her brethren. Her brother Laban was one that kind of, we'll see that in a little bit as well. He was kind of the one that helped her in her decision making. Servants are always welcome at other servants' houses. So they welcomed him in and said, "Come in. We've got place for you to sleep. We've got hay and straw for your camels, and you can spend the night here." Let's read on now in verse 29. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelet upon his sister's hand, and when he had heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me," that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he upgirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told you mine errand." And he said, "Speak on." So they treated him well at this point yet. They didn't know what his purpose was in coming here. And so they took care of him. At the beginning here, it says it was in the evening. It was later in the day, so they were probably going to spend the night there. And they brought out food and set the table. And then finally the servant says, "Just a minute now." He says, "I need to tell you why I am here. I've got to tell you my mission here. before I go on and eat here. So now we're going to read here from verses 34 through verse 49. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say unto her, Give, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will draw water for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out of my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water, and I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made of the camels to drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. So here's just kind of repeating. He's relating to Laban what has already taken place. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot but speak thee bad or good. In essence, it's saying we can't argue with God. We see that as you prayed, it was answered. This thing must be of God. And I don't know, can you imagine all the thoughts that may have been going through Rebecca's mind at this time? Here come these men that she does not know. They're going to take me back to a country that I don't know, and I'm going to marry a man that I've never met. Things were done differently then, I'll agree on that. But as for a young woman, that must have been huge for her to commit to that. Verse 51, Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. So I think the fact that we can see how God has led through this and how God has answered helps a great deal for us to be able to say, Yes, God. When we say yes and we see God leading us, the next time it becomes just a little bit easier to say yes as well, because we know how He answered the last time and how He took care of things and provided, whatever the case may have been. If God is in it, we cannot argue with that. And we know that in God's hands, we are in good hands. And it came to pass, verse 52, that when Abram's servant heard their words, He worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Again, he worships. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, and he said, send me away unto my master. So now we see this coming about. Maybe we see just a little bit of the human element coming in here. It's been agreed that Yahshi would go, and they spent the night. He got up in the morning and said, I'm ready. My mission's accomplished. Let's head out. And in essence, verse 55, and her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10, after that she shall go. They said in essence, oh, not so fast, not so fast. You know, let her stay here for a few days. We would say maybe a week to 10 days. Let her stay a little bit longer, you know, so we can have our proper goodbyes. The servant, Eliezer's job was completed. He was ready to go back home. And they said, oh, this is happening too fast for us. Let's give it a few days. And then verse 56. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Let's ask Rebekah what she thinks about this packing up and leaving so quickly. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Isn't that wonderful? The two servants here, and Rebekah simply says, and she has witnessed all of this. She knows what Eliezer has prayed for, and she has seen all of this take place. And she said, I will go. In other words, she said, I am not going to hinder this man from his mission. I will go with you. So she says, yes. Now let's read through the rest of the chapter yet. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels. So she took some maidservants along back with her. And they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lehiroi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said, and this is kind of turned around here, for she had said unto the servant, unto Eliezer, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. I'm sure there would be more that we could share about this. Again, I don't know exactly all the customs of that time, but she saw this man walking towards them. She asked Eliezer, who is this? And she said, well, this is your future husband. And she jumped off the camel and she put a veil over her face. I don't know if that was customary. Again, there might be more into this than what we're going to delve into this morning. But she, I also thought of this. Maybe it was not ladylike for Isaac to see Rebekah riding a camel. Maybe that's why she jumped off. I don't know. But anyways, when she knew that this was Isaac, her future husband, she jumped off. And she covered her face. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. He related everything so that Isaac would have no question that this was from the Lord. This was the lady that God directed for him to be his wife. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I believe that Eliezer told Isaac all the details of how he came to choose Rebekah for his wife. And again, there, from the reading, there were no high fives. There were no good job exchange. There was no saying, this was from Isaac to Eliezer, you deserve a raise. None of that. Nothing is recorded of any praise for a job well done that Eliezer had performed. It was only Eliezer's reasonable service to do according to what his master had asked him to do. The last thing on your papers, children, didn't the reference there did not print completely. That should be 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards or servants that a man be found faithful, or woman. Are you and I faithful to what God asks of us to do? It is only our reasonable service. May we go forth and serve Jesus, but many times by serving Jesus, we serve others as well. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that this story, this account has been preserved for us. The many lessons that we can draw from this. Thank you for Eliezer's dedication. May we draw from this as well. May we be dedicated. May our utmost goal in life be to bring you, our Master, our Savior, honor and glory. And as we go forth, as we meet others, may we always keep this in mind, that we are serving our Master as we serve others. Bless us as we go from there. Watch over us. Give us a good week. We pray for those who are away from home, those who are traveling on vacations, and ask that you would grant them safety throughout this week as well. We commit each one into your care. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.